Let's give the Lord a big shout. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, you may be seated. I want you to look at a scripture in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. You probably haven't heard this in a while. I'm going to find it right here. You know, when God called me to pray, he said, if you'll give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. That was a cold winter morning in February of 1966. He said, if you give me the first hour of your day, I'll change your life. And, you know, I did not know how to pray an hour. So I looked at an outline. And the outline that I found was where Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so, you know, it didn't take very long to say that. And somebody said, you know, when you see that, just say it real slow. So tonight I want to say 2 Chronicles Chapter 7, verse 14, I want to say it real slow. Because I believe that that sometimes we just have to go back to the basics. And the basic is prayer. You know, the Bible says if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so there are a lot of churches that are building in America. They're building on something else rather than prayer. They're building on promotions, or they're building on advertising, or they're building on something other than prayer. But you know, Jesus said, "My house should be called the house of prayer." He said, "But you made it something else." And so anything other than the house of God being a house of prayer is because we made it that. And I know there's a lot of rhetoric going around after the election. There's all kinds of stuff that's taking place. I was reading today, or the last few days, where, you know, they say that for the first time in the history of America, Protestantism is less than 50%. We're no longer a majority. But when did God ever work with a majority? Huh? I read where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, four of those guys turned an entire nation around. One of them had an interpretation to a dream that no one could interpret, and God promoted. So God is at work in his kingdom. And another one said that it's time that all the conservatives or Christians sit down at the table of compromise and everybody work together. No, we can't all work together. If your Lord is not Jesus, we have a very difficult time working together. If your God is not named Jehovah, we have a very difficult time working together. And so I believe that we are still the salt of the earth. I still believe that we're the light of the world. And I still believe that we as Christians, the church, is still the hope of a nation. Amen? And it makes no difference what the systems of this world may be. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have, that we have, committed unto him against that day. And Gene and I are now in our sixth decade of ministry, and we still believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we started out on the premise of prayer. We built our foundation on prayer. And we responded to the call to pray, which I still believe is the highest call in all the world, the call to pray. And we responded to the call to pray, and we have made prayer our lifestyle. It is not something that we do, it is something that we are. And sometimes we just have to, as my pastor would say, we just need to keep declaring the main thing, the main thing. And that's why I've so enjoyed ministering these past several Wednesday nights here, calling together and encouraging you and reminding you to not quit praying. That as long as we pray, we're on the right track. And so most of our prayer foundation goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. So, you know, when I started out and did not know how to pray an hour, I just looked at Matthew chapter 6, and somebody said, well, just say it real slow. So we're going to say 2 Chronicles 7:14 real slow. And then we're going to pray. You know, I love to pray. And I know my pastor loves to pray. And I know this church loves to pray. And somebody says, well, you're just ministering to the choir. No, I'm encouraging the choir. Hallelujah. Lest we forget. So what does it say? If. We just start with the word if. Not with the word is, but the word if. If. Which means introducing a conditional clause. In other words, what we are about to pray for tonight is conditional. I remind people in the prophetic that most every prophetic word is conditional. God desires to send another spiritual awakening to America, and I'm prophesying, but it is conditional. I prophesy to people about how God wants to use their life and what he's going to do in their life, but most of the time it's conditional. So if means conditional. It's introducing a conditional clause. If. Somebody say if. My people. If my people. Now what an honor it is to be the people of God. He said in Leviticus 26:12, he said, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. You know what? When I say that, it makes me very secure. Makes me very secure. When I say that, it eliminates fear out of my life. That I am a son of God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And one day my father will just take complete control. His son Jesus will stand up and every knee will bow. Every knee in America and Russia and Czechoslovakia and Bolivia and Haiti and Ireland and Cuba and Ecuador and Venezuela. Every knee one day will bow. If my people, we're the people of God. I like that. Somebody ought to write a song called The People of God. Hebrews 8:10, here's what it says. For this is the covenant. A covenant is a solemn agreement between two different people. And this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I belong to a special group tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Huh? I belong to a special group. I am a part of the people of God. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And God that has started with me is the God that will finish with me. And what I want to do is hear him say, well done, one day, well done, good and faithful servant. So I'm working for God. I'm working for God. And I believe that he is a rewarder. Someone quoted tonight, of those who diligently seek him. So if, somebody say if, my people, we're the people of God, right? Who are called by my name? Who are called by my name? What is his name? I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. He is always the same, regardless of whether we have a Republican president or a Democratic president, or we have an independent president. It makes no difference in what type of regime that we're under, where it's a peaceful regime or a tyrant regime or what country or what nation. Hallelujah. He is still God. His name is Jehovah, in the Hebrew meaning Yahweh. There is a way when we depend on Yahweh, the God of more than enough. He is Jehovah God. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. He is Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctification. He is Jehovah Shammah, he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Nisi, our victory. He is Jehovah. Can you say Jehovah? He is Jehovah God. There is no God like my God. And other gods are rising in this nation. But I declare that every God must bow to Jehovah God. Hallelujah. So my trust is in him tonight. Who? Jehovah God. My confidence is in him. Who? Jehovah God. So if my people, are we his people? If my people who are called by my name, for God hath highly exalted him, his son, and given him a name, which is above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Hallelujah. So he has Jehovah God, only one God, with only one son. And the name of the one son is Jesus. And we have power and authority because he has given us the name. We can use the name. David said to Goliath, you come to me with sword and shield and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, the Bible says, a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Hallelujah. Jesus. Who are called by his name, Jehovah God, and his son's name, Jesus. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humble means lower in dignity and importance. 2 Samuel 6:22, you will save the humble people. Psalms 9 and 12, he does not forget the cry of the humble. Philippians 2 and 8 says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. James 4 and 6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will humble themselves. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We humble ourselves before Almighty God. Even though Moses was chosen to be the leader of that great nation of Israel. The Bible said he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was filled with all humility, submitting himself to God and the mighty hand of God. And so if we'll humble ourselves, here we go now, we're getting ready. If my people were called by my name will humble themselves and do what? And pray. You know, if you read the history of great moves of God, of revival in America, all revivals begin accidentally. No. All revivals begin with what? With prayer. In the second great awakening in America, a group of businessmen met at noontime in New York City. Just a few of those men began to pray. And their prayers began to accelerate and multiply. And they kept praying. One of my favorite acronyms is PUSH. Pray until something happens. And one pastor, you know, sometimes I get lots of comments. One pastor said, you know, you made it like the church didn't pray enough. And he said, well, I believe we're praying. And he said, I'm even, you know, I said, well, how much is enough? He said, well, I'm praying without ceasing. I pray in my heart all during the day. And I said, yeah, but it's important that we pray together and that we have certain times where we push. There's a lot of people who say, well, you know, I pray, or we pray. And how much is enough? How much is too much? Tongue in cheek. But what I believe is that we refer back to what happened when people prayed in days gone by, because I believe that history repeats itself. I believe history repeats itself. And when I look back at the times, even in America, and Gene and I's 45 years of full-time ministry. Of course, Pastor Joy had been full-time ministry 50-some-odd years. But when I look just back over the 45 years, I have seen, even from the time that I was a boy, different cycles of what happened in America according to the intensity of prayer. You know, some people say, well, I just believe that God just hears all of our prayers, and I believe that. But I believe there are certain levels of prayer. I believe there are certain levels of prayer. And, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to pray until what? What? Until. Now, he didn't say, I want you to pray for 30 days, or I want you to pray for 60 days, I want you to pray for these next 2 years. What did he say? He said, I want you to pray until something happens. I don't believe that God is just a God of the past. I believe that God is also a God of the present. And when I want to know what God is going to do, then I look back to see what God has done. So it's, what is God going to do? Well, look back and see what he's done, because whatever he's done, he will going to do it again, only with greater intensity, with greater results. And so I know that every move of God that I've seen has been as a result of prayer. In my lifetime, being raised in a preacher's home. It's been as a result of prayer. And where there's been much prayer and where there's been intense prayer, there was a move of God. The Bible said that when they held up Moses' hands, victory came. And when his hands were let down, the enemy started prevailing. There's something happens when we hold up the hands and pray. And so there's a lot of people says, is God finished with America? Is what is going to happen next? What are we going to be overrun? What is going to take place? And no. God is just ready. He's ready. So if he's done it once, twice, three times, four times, if he's done, he'll do it again. But we must look back to see what we did in days gone by. How did we affect the kingdom of God? I remember in the 80s, because Gene and I started traveling in 1985 with a man who at that time was calling the nation to pray. He was the premier prayer leader, and I had the opportunity to be his prayer associate. And even President George H. Bush called him to the White House to pray with him because he saw the impact of prayer. And before the social media arrived, Larry had over 300,000 people praying with him. And I believe that over 300,000 people changed the course of a nation. And you know, I read recently where somebody said, the moral majority guy, Jerry Falwell, he's dead. Pat Robertson, he's getting old. And James Kennedy from Florida, he's dead. And evidently, everything is kind of coming to a halt in the Christian world. All these men have died or they're getting real old. Who told them that? God is raising up people in these days. No names. You know, they've got this. They've got this new category in America that says now there's 20% of Americans are called the nuns. Have you heard of those? N-O-N-E-S. It's the new group, the nuns. It's kind of like the new normal. I'm telling you, you guys got to get with it. You got to stay up on what's going on. You got to get with it. The nuns, they make up 20%. I'm not talking about the N-U-N-S. I'm talking about the N-O-N-E-S. They make up now 20%. They're a religion, but they don't believe in anything. They're anti-Christian, anti-everything. And they make up now 20% of the population of America. And so these people are saying, you know, it's all fizzling out. The church is fizzling out. And, you know, it's a new day and there's a new norm. Who told them that? Who told them that? And so we look back to where in the late 60s and early 70s where there was anti-war protest and there was things, America was kind of going south, but people started praying. And Gene and I, we got to be a part of that prayer movement that was going on there at Church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas. People come from all over the world actually to pray there. In fact, the picture of the praying man came out of the prayer room there that we have now, the power tower, the altar, because they let the lamp go out. We'll never let that happen here. That won't ever happen here. Unless we quit praying. But we saw people praying, and Gene and I for 5 years, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we did two prayer conferences a week for 5 years. And we saw hundreds of churches begin to pray. Every morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every morning, people were gathering at the church to pray and seek God and call on the name of the Lord. And we were teaching people to pray. And we were leading in prayer. And in this prayer movement, we saw God begin to rise in America. And a man by the name of Ronald Reagan was elected president and served as president, and then George H. Bush. And even in the midst of an administration where a man was not a godly man, we had this contract with America, and where God raised up godly men and women to serve in Congress. And that's even how we started the Power Tower, upon the same premise, where we had people to sign a contract for America. And we begin to pray for America. And in the decade of the 90s, we saw God work. And Gene and I were overwhelmed on a January morning when the Lord said, you're going to start going to churches and you're going to start praying with churches for weeks and months at a time. I didn't know anybody that was doing it, and I didn't know how we could do it, but I believe God. So you hear something, and then you see something, and then you say something, and then you do something. And we heard the voice of the Lord, and we began to say, we're going to go into churches and stay for weeks and months at a time. And we're going to pray through until we break through. Who would have ever believed that people would come out for weeks and months at a time, 5:42 in the morning and 5:42 in the afternoon, to pray and seek God and the glory of God coming? And the atmosphere was charged. And in the decade of the 90s, we saw God work in our nation. But then we became quite busy. And we started getting consumed with all kinds of things. But we need, ladies and gentlemen, we need another spiritual awakening in America. And we need lights turned on and people praying. We need churches across America who will say, we will be a part of a Power Tower movement. We will have a prayer chain, and we will pray around the clock, and we will have people gathering for corporate prayer, and we will push. We will pray until something happens. God, do it again. Do it again. God, do it again. And Gene and I, for 8.5 years, we traveled across America, Canada, England, and other places, praying until there was a breakthrough. There is a certain point of breakthrough. I remember in the decade of the 90s praying, ministering with an evangelist that came to this church for a certain period of time, and he would say to me, Dale, you get up and lead the congregation in prayer until we have a breakthrough so I can get up and minister with freedom. And so I would get up and I would lead prayer until we had a breakthrough. Then I would give him the microphone and he would preach. What is happening in so many churches across America, there is no breakthrough. And many churches across America become stoic and unmoved and unconcerned and lukewarm. We must have another revival. We must have another spiritual awakening in America. But it will not happen unless my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And pray. And pray. How much do we pray? And how long do we pray? We pray until there is a breakthrough. followed by a breakout. We pray until there is a hunger for God to pray. There is a certain, you have to get to a certain place in your prayer life to where you have a hunger again, a passion again, a desire again. I can let my fire start getting dim. I have to stir myself and shake myself. And I believe that we could be like Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, if I miss a day of prayer, I feel it. And if I miss 2 days of prayer, my church feels it. And if I miss 3 days of prayer, my whole nation feels it. I refuse to be a part of the new norm, to come to church and hear some type of motivational speech and get up and go home the same person that I was. I declare that with every fiber of my being, I'm going to push. I'm going to pray until something happens as long as there's breath left in my body, because I know that God desires to answer the prayers not only of us, but people that have gone on before us. My mother, my daddy, pastor's mom and dad, Joy's mom and dad, and many of you others. Their prayers are still lingering here. Prayers that they prayed concerning God, would you please work in our nation? I declare the best is yet to come. But I don't believe that God is waiting on us. I don't believe that we're waiting on God. I believe that God is waiting on us. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. It's a humbling thing. And the cries that I've heard out of this church are in years past has been cries of desperation. And I refuse to believe that the former years were the best years. I am convinced that the best years are ahead of us. And I'm convinced that we can pray, and we can pray with greater intensity than we've ever had before. And the churches that have experienced revival have been churches where I've heard prayers of travail and groanings and crying and tears. He said, let the priests, the leaders of the church, weep between the porch and the altar. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not seek my hand, and seek my what? And seek my face. Our eyes, oh God, are upon you tonight. Not what you can do for us, but what can we do for you? And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And how are we going to take what you've deposited in us as individuals? And how are we going to take what you've deposited in us as a church and expand it? Expand it. Gene and I are spending time in prayer this month seeking God. God, what is our rhythm for next year? What are we to do next year? We realize that things are tightening, the grip of darkness is trying to tighten, and we must accelerate. And what have you entrusted with us? And what have you given us? And how can we make our footsteps count in a greater measure? That as stewards, we are responsible for what you have given us. Hallelujah. We as a church, this is my church, Gene and I's church, we're responsible for calling other churches to pray around the clock. It's not enough for just us to do it. We're winning souls, 6,000 souls. It's not just enough for us to win souls, but we must call churches across America to join us in winning souls. Winning souls. Come and you can go out with us and we will teach you how to win souls. Come to Calvary Cathedral, to the Power Tower, and we'll teach you how to have a 24-hour ministry. Come and we'll teach you how to have corporate prayer. We must share the good news. And whatever God has deposited in us, whatever He's given us, we have an obligation to be good stewards, to share it with others. If not us, then who? If not now, when? I believe the churches across America could be coming here every week and being taught how to win souls and being taught how to lead corporate prayer and be taught how to start a 24-hour prayer ministry, being taught how to go out and into the streets and the highways and byways, learning how to have a successful Bible school, learning how to start a Christian school. We have the arrows in our hands. And what will we do with them? That's what Gina and I have come face to face with these last few weeks. Do we continue to go to the same churches year after year, prophesy to the same people year after year? What can we do to expand? How about raising up 300 high school and college age young people to lead prayer? How about believing God for 300 prayer centers on college and college university campuses across America? How about training 300 prayer leaders to lead prayer, corporate prayer in their churches? How about believing that God will give 300 power towers in America? How about 300 churches joining us in soul-winning efforts? How about 300 new Christian schools starting in America? Or how about 300 Bible schools starting in America? And what shall we do? And what shall we do with what God has given us? I think we ought to pray now. Would you come and help me pray? Oh God. Oh God, the harvest is ripe. It's white. It's ready. It's ready. Help us not to say 4 months and then cometh harvest. No, the harvest is white, all ready to harvest. Oh God, ikore mende libro soto. Ote shikire ikore kite. Oh, namandora botale brisike ramandore beki. Oh God. Kibo shikira mando ribikira brikuta la brisera mando la brikera mando. Somebody help me pray tonight. Era mando la brikira batola brisikira britera briando. Kibo shikira mando la brike. Ibo sika batola brikira batora bende. Harabosire brikire batola brikire batala briana mando. Mandri briata rabotole briata la mandola brikire batole briana mando. Pharaoh tried to stop it. but Moses came. Herod tried to stop it, but Jesus came. And there are powers that would try to stop this move of God, but I declare the Holy Ghost has come. Working in us here tonight. We are the people of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Declaring the best is yet to come. Declaring what we have been taught, what we've learned, and what we've experienced at Calvary Cathedral, we will share with this nation. God, we need you now. We need you now, God. We will pray until something happens. We will not be weary in well-doing. We will call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, we're here to seek your face. What can we do for you? We only have one life to live. And we give it to you now. We give you our lives. How about me, Lord? Have you considered me? Have you considered us, Lord? Have you considered us? Oh God. How much she could have breathed thy anoint us with fresh oil tonight. Lord, anoint us with fresh oil tonight. Rekindle the flame, oh God, in each of our hearts tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. Let the call go out, a fresh call to pray, responding to if my people which are called by my name, my people called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Thank you, Lord. Arabashi, Ibashikarabasura, Brikarabatora, Biki, Idabitia, Tarabatalabra, Sedabakura, Bishikarabasedabakura, Bikit, Mendrebriat, Tarabisedabrian, Drebriat, Tarabashikarabasedabakute. Mandra brikira batola brie karabatola brikira batala brie terebike. Mandra brie tarabusere briana mandala brikura brie taramando. Beshika mende, sikabatora mende, ibashikara brukuta la brie taramasera brie tamato. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Don't let the flame go out in our lives, oh God. Let us not say the former days were the best days. Let us look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, declaring the best days are ahead of us. Thank you for my pastor, Bob Nichols, his wife Joy. Thank you, people of prayer. This is a house of prayer. I thank you, Lord, to keep the fire burning, the lamp burning in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And must not be weary in well-doing, God. Let new strength and energy come into our hands, our lives tonight, so that we can mount up with wings like eagles and we can run and not be weary. We can walk and we won't faint. Lord, strengthen our hands and strengthen us for these days in which we live. We that have been called to make a difference. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. These are days that we can have more questions than answers. These are days when we can get into this mode of thinking too much, considering so many things that's going on. You know, David had this problem. And then he said, I went into the house of the Lord. And he said, then I understood. Huh? You know, sometimes I can be so tired. I'm so tired to go to the house of God. And it just, but then I get there. And then I get under the anointing. And then I get into his presence. And then I begin to understand. And then I begin to gain strength. And I know this is my lifeline. Huh? I don't want to be called home alone. Home alone part two. Huh? No, this is my lifeline. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Millions of people are staying home now watching church by internet. And I'm thanking God, what's happening to them? It's not what God's called us to do. Unless we just can't get to the house of God. But if we can get there and we get into his presence and then we start understanding. Ha! And then we start comprehending. Hallelujah. In just a few moments, after you've given an offering tonight, I want to ask you to pray about sowing a seed into Gene and I's ministry, what God has called us to do. I'm just going to lay hands on people and say, I'd like to have that fire rekindled in my life. I'd like to have that a fresh call to pray and seek the face of God. I believe there's an impartation. I'll just ask God to take the anointing upon me to pray, to lead prayer, put it upon you. Hallelujah. Because I believe that God is going to use people to lead prayer in their neighborhoods and prayer in their schools, prayer on the campuses, prayer on the job. Hallelujah. Prayer in their family. So I want to give you an opportunity to give tonight. And then if you want me to pray for you, I will. It's an option. Options are good. Hallelujah. So Father, speak to people about sowing a seed into Gene and I's ministry tonight, what you've called us to do. To mobilize 1 million people to pray for another spiritual awakening. Hallelujah. Make your check to Calvary Cathedral.